There is no king in the Bible who would just become a king before going to war. There are very few kings. And when you become a king before going to war, the first thing you have to do is to go and fight. You are not a king in the Bible without a war. Your qualification to become one, it is not just inheritance. It is the battles you have won. I'm talking to somebody here.
Yes.
Are you here right?
Yes.
Now let's look at David. He had to kill Goliath before becoming a king. When he killed Goliath, people began to say, he's better than Saul. Yes. Check about King Saul. He had to go and fight who? The Midian. He had to fight the Midianites. He had to go to battle. Not that he was sending soldiers to go and fight. He was physically in front. It's not like you send soldiers in front of you. No, you have to be what? Involved. You today, you go like, I don't know why God has left me alone. All the men you know in the Bible had to fight.
Amen.
For you to become a king, you had to go to what?
To war.
To war. You are never a king until you defeat something. People say, oh, Jesus already did it on the cross. No, your salvation, yes. On your salvation, you don't have to do anything. But in terms of life, living, practical things we face in life. The Bible says, those who shall overcome shall be given a rod. A rod is a symbol of kingship. When a president wins election, when they're doing what? Inauguration. They give him either a sword or a rod. It is a symbol of power. So, the scripture says, the only moment you shall be given a rod of iron, it is when what? You have overcome. It's in your Bible. It says when you shall overcome. There are things God knows you must overcome. Deborah never became a queen. A judge who was ruling as a queen. Without winning what? Battles. Read your Bible. Gideon never became a ruler. Without winning what? A battle. Are you here right? So battles you face will determine whether you become a king or a slave. What's your choice? Now I want to hear you. What's your choice?
King.
You're there?
Yes.
Now let's go ahead. Now let's look at all these in the Bible. So the reason why others would become kings and others would remain slaves, it was only a simple thing. The battles they won. So I'm winning the battles. Say it again. Say in the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
I will win this battle.
I will win this battle.
So the qualification of your promotion into rulership in the realms of the spirit determines how many battles what you have won. Jesus Christ never became the savior of the whole world until he won the battle on the cross. It is only then when he resurrected from death, that's the only time he said, all power has been given to me. Meaning to say that there was no all power before he died. When he resurrected, he said, all power has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. There was a battle he had to win. Raise your right hand and say, in the mighty name of Jesus, I will win every battle in front of me. The scripture says, they that shall overcome. I have a very big problem with that statement. They that shall what? Meaning, there are those who will not what?
Overcome.
Winning is inevitable.
Amen.
Nothing will stop us from winning.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you will win that battle you are facing.
I
promise you. I can sense a spiritual fierce battle, but you will win it. Are you here? So we have those people who think, no, Jesus did it on the cross already. What are you talking about? What are you talking? What are you talking about? Haven't you read the scripture? Where Paul said we wrestle against what? Principalities, powers. Do you know the meaning? What did he say? He didn't say we are fighting. He said we wrestle. Do you know what is wrestling? Hold me, I hold you. The scripture does not say Jesus died for our families. He died for your soul. He died for you so that in him you can find life. You can surrender totally your life to Jesus and live in Christ and not in the world. The rest he lives for you. He says, the rest in my name, you shall cast out evils in my name. You shall lay your hand on the sick and the sick shall be healed. In my name. You hear that?
Yes.
So if you go and say, in the name of Jesus, nothing is happening. In the name of Jesus, nothing is happening. My friend, there's no reason we should lose. This is why in the math, this is why my calling, I keep coming and I teach you strategies, how to fight, how to pray. How to handle, because in the prophetic ministry, we are actually called for this. So I will never lose. So, what does this teaching take us to? It takes us to understand the platform that Jesus gave us, where he wants us to own the rights of miracles. I love miracles.
I love miracles.
So in the prophetic ministry, we believe the first miracle that God did to us was our salvation. Salvation is the biggest and profound miracle you can ever have. But then it must not stop on the salvation. Salvation must lead us into the platform where God wants us to operate. We are the extensions of God's kingdom. Imagine today we talk about the heaven and the kingdom because of David, who was a man, but an extension. We talk of God's kingdom because of Elijah. The whole Bible, we talk about men and women who did things, who brought God on earth, who did dynamics, moved in wonders. So I joined them. It is time that we believe in Jesus. He died for our sins. We accepted him. Yes, that salvation has created a platform. This platform is for you and I, that we should actually become an extensions. We should become extensions of his kingdom. That when wherever we go, the kingdom is going. If we lay a hand upon somebody, it is the kingdom laying a hand upon somebody. If we say in the name of Jesus, it is the kingdom saying in the name of Jesus. If you say come, it is the kingdom saying come. If you say out. So in the world of miracles, there are several miracles that you can actually provoke. Number one, we looked at miracles of introductions. These miracles are miracles that God does. Heavens do. And when God is doing these miracles, they are miracles that can introduce you. What the devil does, he knows this trick. That wow, this child has a trick. And the trick is, he has a God who can introduce her. So what the devil does, he comes and blocks you from being introduced. Some of you, you have got people you are supposed to be introduced to. There are destinies you're supposed to be introduced to. There are projects you're supposed to be introduced to. But the enemy has what? Stopped them. Because he knows the power of miracles of introduction. Whosoever in the Bible became great, it is because God introduced them. God did what? And I told you that these miracles, either God introduces you or he uses people to introduce you. Jesus was introduced by both. Nobody knew who Jesus was until he was 30. He was introduced by John when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And people said, "Who is the Lamb of God?" He says, "That one." As John was talking, heavens also introduced him. "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Are you there? Yes. Say introduction. Introduction. Say, I will be introduced. Say, every power and element, stopping my introduction has been declared broken. Every system working day and night, preventing my introduction, has been broken. So, there are people with CVs, powerful CVs, they will never be introduced. People working, hard working, it's like whatever they are doing, no one sees it. I gave you my own example. I said, I was ministering, praying for people. Nobody knew me. Until I prayed, "Oh God, introduce me." I never even went to people anymore. The way you'll be introduced, I'm even worried. Oh, let me say something to you. When David was introduced, do you know who introduced David? David enjoyed miracles of introduction. He was introduced both by God and by man. The first time God introduced him is when a prophet anointed him. The way what I want to do tonight, can I introduce you? The first time, it was when a prophet anointed him. That was God's introduction. Everybody in the family said, "What is this now? What is this?" They said, "No, not you. Not you. Not you. Not you. But you. But you. But you. Uh-uh. We'll wait for him until he comes." What were they saying? All the brothers. What is this? David came. A prophet anointed him. We have a king. All the brothers of David were soldiers. They were guard commanders of the king. Now imagine you are anointing a king, our young brother, as a king, where we are already what? Bodyguards of an existing what? King. What? He is. Say it again. I'll be introduced. So God introduces David. I love these miracles of introduction. I can preach these ones the whole year. Because God works through introductions. Now imagine, so he is introduced. Are you there? God introduces him. Are you there? Wait, are you there? Come on, are you there? God introduces him and he goes back with his anointing on his head. He goes back to take care of the sheep in the bush. I told you this. If you don't enjoy these miracles, you may have oil on your head and still continue living a poor life. With your oil on your head. David had oil on his head from a prophet and continued living a what? A poor life. Until another miracle of introduction. The Bible says, and in the palace, there was a problem. They needed a director of music. So they were looking to put a vacancy out. There was no vacancy. They said, "We know a man." Somebody just came from nowhere. "I know a man. His name is David, son of Jesse. He is skilled to play instruments." They said, "Hire him." The man was hired from the bush. as he was busy there taking care of the sheep like this, he just saw a convoy coming. What was in his mind? What? Say, they're looking for you. He said, huh? Say, they're looking for you. He's taking care of the sheep. He said, what are they talking about? He said, in the palace, they want you as a director of music. Did I apply?
No.
What is God can do these miracles. And I'm commanding them. I am commanding them. Receive whoever you are. Miracles of introduction. You'll be introduced. I prophesy. You'll be introduced. And we also looked at the miracles of what? Uncommon what? These miracles of uncommon provisions, these happen in a way that you never thought it would happen. In an uncommon manner. God just provides something in uncommon, through uncommon channels. Somebody shout with me, Lord,
Lord,
I believe
in your uncommon provisions.
This is a supply that ignores logic or resource constraints. It ignores. These are miracles of ravens where God begins to do things you never thought they would happen. Impossible connections. Impossible breakthroughs. That in our world, they are not common. You would never think such type of a breakthrough would happen. This provision doesn't come from familiar channels. God uses stingy beds and widows, those with little, to fund prophetic assignments. These are miracles of overflow during famine. Uncommon. Imagine God using a widow. Imagine, is that common? These are miracles where you get it, you remove it like this. You put it there. It's through there. They remove, they cook food, they take food. The widow removes the food. And she says, this is our last meal. She cooks. When she checks, there is another one. Imagine you, God, doing this to your bank account. Every moment you get the money, there's still more money coming. After this money, another project is coming. After this, another tender is coming. After this, another connection is coming. And come on. He said, we just pray, Lord, I need a miracle. You need to have knowledge. Be informed. Don't just pray. You now need to know how to pray on miracles. I need this uncommon provision. You'll be shocked in this season. I prophesy. I said, I prophesy in this season. Say in the name of Jesus. How do you provoke uncommon provisions? I didn't tell you this, but let me just give you 2 points. One, radical obedience to prophetic instruction, even when it's not comfortable. Even when it's not what? Comfortable. Radical obedience to prophetic instruction. Imagine God telling you to say, go to the bush and hide. Elijah obeyed and went there. And uncommon provision began to what? To happen. Imagine God saying, go to a widow. He goes to a widow. And a common provision began to what? To happen. There are things God will tell you to do. Obey. Don't hesitate. If God says, apply to this company, just apply. If God says, try this project, don't even think twice. pay attention to activities around you. Some scarcity does not mean God doesn't love you, but he wants you to hear another voice. Imagine Elijah when he was there by the well where he was hiding. The Bible says God made the brook of water to always have water, but there was a time God caused it to dry. There'll be moments certain things will dry in your life. It does not mean God has abandoned you. All he's trying to do is listen to what he's saying. And when he listened, there was a journey was supposed to go to a widow. Sharia Mahande. Say, Lord, help me to be obedient to every voice that you will drop in my mind. Number two, by declaring, my source is not the economy. My source is the throne of God. Wealth from unlikely places locates me daily. Declare those things. Uncommon places. Declare, Lord, let these things happen. Miracles from uncommon places locate me. Say that. We also look at miracles of divine speed. When divine speed hits you, what takes others 10 years to happen? It can just happen in months. Say with me, divine speed.
Divine speed.
What can take others to do in so many years, you can do in a short while. Cutting the time short. And I know people saying, amen, I receive it. After this service, they'll go home and sleep over it. And wake up and think other things. You have not made a choice. The day you will make a choice, you will take this personally. You will say, I cannot wait any longer. You will become angry and say, I cannot wait any longer. I need speed to happen now. And I'm telling you, your determination and your faith and your sacrifice and your... it shall make it be cut short. Just know this. I'm teaching you to know that in the spirit, these miracles exist of speed. Miracles of speed exist. My God. So I'm here. How can you provoke these ones? Engage in midnight prayers. Just hear that. Have specific moments just to pray in the midnight. So to question the authenticity of praying at night, then we must question Jesus, because at night, he loved to go to the mountain and pray. Moses, at night, he loved to go to the mountain and pray. So there is something in the realms of the spirit that you have to understand what are spiritual portals. And spiritual portals could be geographical location. Say geographical location. There are places, I'm telling you, there are places. The Bible says God is everywhere now. Jesus is everywhere now. The Holy Spirit is everywhere now. But trust you me, there are portals. God is everywhere. He's found everywhere. But there was a place where Jacob was sleeping. And he said, wait, this is a gateway to heaven. And I knew it not. So they are portals. God is the spirit. He's everywhere. But in the same manner, they are portals geographically in the spirit. A good example, if you've ever tried praying in a room, just in a room, and you're walking around, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm praying. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. But because you didn't pay attention, that I am mentioning, you will now remember. Now you are praying, Lord, Lord, and you are thinking other things, and you're having a bit of laziness, and you're walking. You know, all of a sudden, somewhere, you just find yourself, there is a bursting. If you don't pay attention in the spirit, you'll continue going to wrong places where you were before. Stand there. Where you felt that shift and special energy, stand there. That's the portal. Jump from there. Pray. Surround that place and pray. That is the portal. So we've got geographic portals. We have environmental portals. Now, this could be the environment where you are. So somebody should never lie to you. Never. And this environmental portal could be night, could be day. Also could be a place. Imagine a person can be contaminated by just being with wrong people in wrong environments. You can be contaminated. And when you are the right people and at the right place, your spirit can be revived. Because that's the portal. So midnight prayers. Shout midnight prayers. Engage for speed. These ones, you just put up your time, you know, to wake you up. If you have not yet grown spiritually to a level where the Holy Spirit can wake you up, the more you set your time to pray, you find that then you start get used to the Holy Spirit. He begins to wake you up, and you get used, you know. So you can set up your time and say, at 1 a.m., I want to pray. Or 3 in the morning, I want to pray. This time in the spirit, there's a huge significance. Nobody should lie to you. This is why even the devil himself, he loves doing things at night. I'm telling you, tell me where people go out in pubs during the day. Tell me, a lot of dark activities happen where, what time? So if the devil knows the power of the night, witches, when are they active? Why? That's the time you stand up. He said, firstly, before I pray, the whole area where I am, I shut down every demonic network. I'm in charge right now. Yeah. Speak like someone who is operating from the throne. Not as a timid. You stand and say, now I pray for speed. Lord, over this project, I pray for speed. Oh my God. You shall be shocked. Are you here? Number 2. Breaking covenants of delay and stagnation over your bloodline. Breaking what? Covenants of delay and stagnation in your bloodline. Because some of these things, they are in your family. There are so many delays and stagnations. How do you see this? I already trained you how to discover patterns. You take your family, you put them there, and you begin to see what I'm passing through. Who else is passing through my family? That's how we discover patterns. This situation, who else in my family? So when you discover a pattern, to say there is a negative pattern, my sister, also there are delays and stagnation. My mother, also my father, also my brother, then you know that it is in my family. So what you need to do, you need to go through a prayer of breaking what? Covenants of stagnation and delays. And you'll be shocked how things will begin to happen fast. Raise your hand and say, oh, miracles of speed. Locate me now. Say it again, miracles of speed. Locate me now. Did I teach you how to attract miracles of introduction? Okay, so the miracles of introduction, I didn't teach you how you can provoke them. Number 1, on miracles of introduction, what you should do. Number 1, praying all the times. Lord, introduce me. Lord, introduce me. It's a prayer. It is very essential to pray, God, introduce me. Number two, sowing. Sowing. In Proverbs 18, verse 16, the Bible says your gift can introduce you. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Your gift, your seed can introduce you. And I told you before that King Saul, before he became a king, he went to a prophet with a seed and he was introduced same day before greatness. So we have people who sow seeds. They say, I'm sowing a seed. Don't just say, I'm sowing a seed. In your mind, begin to think, I want this seed to introduce me. It's a seeds of introduction. I'm telling you. Say, Lord, introduce me. Say it again, Lord, introduce me. Number three, on what to do on the miracles of introduction, building personal capacity. So when God introduces you, you don't fail. Imagine, Lord, introduce me, Lord, introduce me. Lord, introduce me, Lord. And then, boom, they have given you a project. You don't even know what it is. So build capacity. Lord, introduce me. Lord, introduce me. Build capacity. Begin to study. Begin to think. Begin to plan. Begin to become a strategist. There was capacity in David of being good in music. That's where he was introduced. So if you're a musician, you want to become big in music, build a capacity. It is that will introduce you. I was spending time in prayer, going to the mountain, coming back, going to the building capacity, reading the Bible, the Greek Bible, the Word Bible. When I come, when people follow me to listen to my word, when I was preaching, wow, we are blessed. I'm able to teach you like this because of capacity. Some here. Say louder, come on. I want to hear somebody. Some here.
I am here.
Say miracles of introduction. Number two, miracles of what? Uncommon provisions. Number three, miracles of divine speed. Number four, miracles of open heaven. Unblocked spiritual signals, downloads, and unlimited blessings. Miracles of open heaven. This way, heaven is actively engaged with you. So busy. Everything in heaven is so busy for you. Say, open heavens. I told you one signal that heaven is not open for you, it is when you don't even hear God speak to you. Because one thing the devil will block is you from hearing God. If you can't hear God clearly, I promise you, your heavens are blocked. And there is something blocking you from hearing God, because God is speaking to everyone in the Bible minus you. Anyone you read in the Bible, you hear, and God and the voice of God is said to this one. You read your Bible again, you open another page, and the word of the Lord came to this one, apart from you. When God was sending an angel to deliver the message to Daniel, the Bible says what? He made a prince of Persia to block him. Not from delivering a breakthrough, but a message. So if angels could be blocked to deliver a message to Daniel, a message, Imagine your ears, your spiritual ears have opened, and you are hearing God clearly, and you are being told that in the morning, like, no, you're not married, eh? And then you hear God telling you clearly like this to say, your husband is this, he stays here. And then you walk out of the house, another guy comes, I love you. You know that this one is a grandchild of the devil. But because you don't hear, you be like, I love you too. And then he says, you are the only flower in my garden. You're like, wow. Firstly, it's a lie. In a garden, there are so many flowers. How can you be the only flower in the whole garden? So, if there is a thing the devil fights, is you to hear God. That's why you don't pay attention to hear God. He knows it. You don't have to hear him. So he'll block you. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus, let my heavens open now. Shout again, let my heavens open. The heavens of revelations, the heavens of the voice of God, the heavens of God's voice, the heavens of breakthroughs. Open! You have downloads. You hear God speak to you. If there's a thing that can worry me, is that day that I wake up in the morning and I can't hear God. I'll be like, what is going on? So, how do you provoke open heavens? Create open spaces through silence and listening. Two, maintain consistent altars of prayer, fasting, and tithing. The scripture says, tithe can open the heavens. You see, people think tithing, if you tithe, you go to heaven. It has nothing to do with going to heaven, eh? You will not go to hell because you didn't tithe. No. You still go to heaven. The Bible has no anywhere where it says if you don't tithe, you go to hell. No. Tithe, it is what God says, test me. Period. It is a personal choice to test him or not. Are you here? Test me and see if I will not open the heavens. Not only that, I'll open the heavens and what? Defend everything you have. It's a tithing. So tithing, it is nothing to do with you being forced to do it. It is something that is an act of faith. You do it out of what? Out of faith, not because it is a command or a responsibility. Nothing like that. And I don't preach. I've never preached that in my church. And in fact, I don't even preach about it. Because tithing, I tithe all the times. But it's not something that I'm forced to tithe to my spiritual father. No. I tithe because I know what tithe can do to me. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, hear this. If you're following, tithing, when we are doing something intentionally, that I'm tithing because I want my heavens to be opened, that becomes warfare. It becomes what?
Warfare.
It becomes warfare. Number five, we looked at what? Miracles of territorial possession. This one, the miracle focus is gaining influence, ownership, legal rights over lands and cities. In Joshua 1 verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you. Can I give you a depth in this? If God says, everywhere you shall step your foot, it shall be yours. What does it mean to you? You must walk what you want to own. You must what? Walk. Because wherever you are going, every direction you are walking into, you must have this attitude, I will own it. Every step you take, I will own this. Walk what you want to own, because every place you shall step your what? Your foot, it shall be yours. So if I step my foot into this business, hey, raise your hand, say in the name of Jesus. We take over lands, territories, buildings, projects in Jesus' name. Dominion requires prophetic contact. Did you hear that? Because if it takes your foot for it to become yours, it means it takes the prophetic you to touch something for it to become yours. So dominion requires prophetic contact. So it's not just that you are walking into it, but you are purposely walking that it will be mine. So from now, anything you'll be venturing, anything you'll be entering, enter purposely with prophetic contact. Oh my God. Say, it's mine. Land responds to voices, especially the voice of covenant carriers like you. If you have no land, commercial land, agricultural land, all these lands are coming to you. How can you provoke it? You can provoke it by walking and praying over territories that you are called to. Cities, buildings, mines, land. You can actually go out to a land and just walk there and declare that this one, it will be mine. I promise you, that's what actually Abraham did. God told him to go to a place where it was not his, just to walk around and declare that it will be his. And guess what? He never took it. 400 years later, his children took it. You're not getting it. Are you here or you're home? The whole reason of Abraham was not to go and take it personally. It was just for him to go and create an altar. So he went there and planted a tree and walked around. Oh my God. Spoke a word. Walked around. And God said, I have made a covenant. This land shall be given to your grandchildren. But before they are given, they will go to a far land where they will be there for 400 years. And they will come back and I shall give them this land. And when they were coming back, they defeated everyone in that land and took it by force. So I have no clue. Just to go and walk over a city and say there will be revival in this city. In the name of Jesus. A revival will erupt. Go over a town. Drive around it. My business will take over in this town. Drive around it. Receive in the name of Jesus. These are miracles of territorial possession. You can provoke it by praying over territories you are called to. Cities, buildings, mines, land. Two, by sowing a seed into those authorities that are already walking into it. There are people with a special anointing that are already moving in such territories. Imagine knowing that this man has got anointing of speed and you want his speed. What should you do? This man has got anointing of territories. God has enlarged his territory. We sow a seed by sowing into those people who are already proven to have the anointing that breaks boundaries, borders. They take over lands, cities. Number three, by declaring, this land yields to me. I possess cities. I possess projects.